Hey, you guys, it's Bree Bell. Welcome to It's Black and White. I know it's been a while. I've been trying my best. March was a lot. I can't believe we're in April, y'all. Like, this year is going by so fast. I can honestly say from my side of things, like, God is doing a lot. I am witnessing his hands in my life, and I'm excited. And it does hurt. Some things has been hurting, just because there's change. And you know, whenever there's change, we have to change. We have to adjust. It kind of takes us out of our comfort zone, the patterns of what we're used to day by day or whatever, right, is different now. And I think for me, it's just adjusting to the new. But I just feel this excitement. Like, I don't know, it's this excitement. I don't know. I think we're finally hitting the promised land. And so let me tell y'all this. Like, you know how when we hear, okay, God is crossing you over, like you're leaving Egypt, God's parting Red Sea, you're in the wilderness, okay, you're in your promised land. I just want y'all to know that's never gonna happen just one time in your life. It may not even happen just one time in a season. Because what the Lord was showing me is God is always going to be delivering you from something. So leaving Pharaoh, leaving Egypt, God making ways out of no ways, it's not just in one area in your life. It may not just be your marriage or your finances, right? Or just your surroundings or whatever. Or even within yourself, if you're battling things with yourself, the way like low self-esteem, whatever, addictions and things like that, it's never going to be one thing. And so I think for me, I've been experiencing multiple, I feel like I've been in the wilderness in multiple areas in my life. And I think that's why I kept, like, at one point I was kind of like, I don't think God is really doing anything in my life, because in one area I felt like I hit the promised land, and then in another area I felt like, okay, but I'm still in the wilderness, or I'm still like crying and asking God to come through. You know what I mean? Like, and it's really, God just kind of helped me just dissect it and stop seeing it as like bunching it all together, because it's not. And the crazy thing is, I feel like sometimes we don't give God what's due to him, because even though he answered one prayer and we have breakthrough in one area, we are still going through something in another area. And so he doesn't get honored and praised for what he did do, though. Right. And so I don't know. It was just something he was sharing with me in my alone time. But yeah, that's just a little intro. So, I don't even know what to title this. So y'all probably have seen it before I even did, because I got to go back and add a title. But I was just in my alone time. The Lord led me to read the book of Nehemiah. So, and for the next couple or a few podcasts, I'm going to be breaking down the book of Nehemiah, or different chapters that God has led me to. For this word is going to be Nehemiah chapter 2. Let me see. I'm going to just start reading. And it says, all right, so Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem early the following spring in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King A, right? King A's reign. I was serving the king his wine. I have never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors were buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heavens, I replied, If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors were buried. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, y'all, was this Esther? Was the queen Esther? I don't know. I gotta look into that. So, I replied, Oh, wait, no. Six. The king with the queen sitting beside him asks, "How long will you be gone? Will you return? Oh, when will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors to the province west of the E River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories." I feel like this is very, very important, that part, right? "Safely through their territories on my way to Judah, and please give me a letter addressed to A, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house, for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. I'm gonna stop right there. So it's verses 1 through 8. So the Lord was talking to me, and the word is that burden that you feel is because that is your assignment. So Nehemiah was feeling sad because of what had happened, right, with the walls, right, with his ancestors, or the walls from his ancestors, right? All right. So this burden that you feel, whatever it is that you are witnessing it, right, or experiencing, like you fill in the blanks. But that is because that is your assignment. That is an area that God, or areas with an S, right? God is wanting you to address. Okay. And so in this, when we read it, we see that the Lord is going to give you that authority. You have a calling on your life. You are qualified for it, even though you may not have everything that you think you need to have. Like, you may look at yourself as like, "I'm just plain old blah, blah, blah." Like, who am I? I'm just a normal person. There's nothing special about me. I don't have anything. I don't have experience in this and all that, right? But God has put that on you because He called you to that. Is a reason why you notice things that everybody else don't notice, right? Is a reason why you get frustrated about stuff that everybody, that no one else gets frustrated about. And it gets irritated because it's like, why am I the only one who thinks there's something wrong with this? Why am I the only one who cares? Why am I the only, like, nobody else want to do nothing about it, right? No one cares, like, because they're not called to it, right? And so, like I said, like, God has given you this authority. And the beauty of like, the beauty of the journey with Christ and stuff like this, or in situations like this, like these missions, is that the fact that we don't even see ourselves as qualified, we know that it's going to be the power of God that's going to work and move through us. It's literally going to be the miracles of God. We know wholeheartedly that God can get all the glory. He has to get all the glory because who am I? I promise you, like, for myself, personally, like, it's been a lot. Like, goodness, it's been a lot that God has shown me. There's a lot of repairs that needed to be done within the bloodline, within the family, like, and if you're like an intercessor like me, like, you've been praying, you've been petitioning, all this, and sometimes it's like, it just feels like it's too much, like, it's just me, right? But the Lord was speaking, and I actually had a friend who actually originally gave me this word, but it keeps coming back up, where all God needs is one. He just needs that one person to say yes. So let me read my notes real quick. Amen. So God is saying He's literally giving you that protection and that provision, however that looks. I think the most important thing about it all is just staying locked in with Christ. Right, the enemy's gonna definitely try, and that's what the book of Nehemiah is about. It's about someone having a burden, someone recognizing that something's wrong, or an area that needs to be fixed, addressed, whatever. That person says yes, that person begins to do God's work, and that person experiences a lot of oppositions. But the task gets completed, the assignment gets completed. So I feel like God is using this, this time, I don't want to call it a series or nothing like that, but just in this time as we go through the book of Nehemiah, it should encourage you. Like, it should encourage you in knowing that just like how he went through it, we are going to go through it, but we're going to finish the task. It's going to get done. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, for the person who just feels like they can't do it, right? Or you feel like there's just too much on your plate. Something that I've been doing is just staying locked in with Christ. Like every day, I just have to let God lead my day. He has to let me know, okay, what are we doing today? Because if I sit and think about it, if I sit and try to figure out where to start or what I should do, I promise you, I get overwhelmed, I get angry, I get frustrated, right? I get mad, especially when you feel like it's so much that needs to be done, and you start to like recruit people and try to get people to see what you see and feel how you feel because you want the help, and then people don't see. Like for me, the most frustrating thing is like when I share stuff with people, like they just listen to it as gossip. I'm not here to gossip. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to feel the burden I feel. Right? I want you to partner with me, like pray with me, or let's figure something out. Let's put hands on whatever. And it's like, it never works. And somewhere within this chapter, I mean, in this book, we're going to see that God is going to send help, but God sends the help. We aren't supposed to look for the help. That's key. I don't know who that is for, who needed to hear that. God is going to send the person. It's not you looking for the person. Right? Because I promise you, we pick the wrong people every time. We pick the wrong folks every time. And I promise you, they look like they are it. They look qualified. They look like they feel the same way you do. But I promise you, people will be so passionate, quote unquote, passionate about something like you. And they won't do anything. They will not do anything. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but it's like, it's super frustrating. And in order for us not to get frustrated, like that is really staying locked in on God. And if you're like me, I'm like, let's get her done. What's next? But this is like a marathon. Okay. This is the brick by brick. Okay. This is okay. We got to demolish some things first, clean up the debris, then put new whatever down. We got to lay down new brick, new concrete, whatever. Like, it is a process. And it's something God's really been trying to help me with, because I want to move and get it done fast so I can enjoy and be done. And I don't know if that's like lazy. Is that laziness in me? Because look, lazy could be you just don't want to do anything. But could lazy also be I just want to hurry up and get it done so I can chill? I wonder if that laziness too. Like, I just want to hurry up and zip past this so I could chill, because the thought of having to keep doing something or working on something for an extended amount of time, that's not exciting to me. That's not exciting to me. If I'm real, that's just not. It's not exciting to me. So, but that's what God has been showing me. That's God's pace, though. Like, something we really have to remember, all of us, and especially me, is God's timing, not ours. So, yeah, it's God's timing. It's not ours. And with that, whatever it is that you need, I'm trying to tell you, sis and brother, like, God is going to give it to you. If he doesn't give it to you, most likely you don't need it, or there's something in that opposition, whatever it is that is between what you need and where you are, that you gotta fight or come against. There's something in that for you. Remember, this is what I'm hearing right now, like David having to fight Goliath, David coming against Goliath. It wasn't just like, have we ever just sat and thought that this had everything to do with David's promotion? That this was tied to his promotion? It wasn't immediate, right? But it was still like something that like he earned respect and people looked at him differently, even though, right, it caused warfare in a sense, right? Because now the guy like that was over him, his king or whatever, he was supposed to be his partner, right? Like started looking at him differently. Like it caused division in a sense, but that was his promotion. Sometimes opposition is a good thing. Like sometimes opposition is needed. And like I said, if you somebody like me, like, I just want stuff to be chill. I promise you, I don't like being confrontational, but I feel like I'm always the one who has to, right? Why am I always the one advocating for my children and other people's children? Why am I the one that's always having to go up to the school and having to like come for these teachers that trying to, you know, put unnecessary stuff on our children or speaking to our children like inappropriate? Okay, let me tell y'all, side note. Right, this, I have 4 kids, right, and I'm on my third child right now. He's in school now, and it's just so irritating, like, these teachers, like, I just be feeling like, Lord, why can't people just do their job, just stick to your job, stop doing all this extra stuff? Or if you're tired, right, you tired of teaching, and you don't have the patience for children at this age, okay, then you need to bump up a notch or a few notches, go to a whole completely different grade level and work with children where you don't have to be this patient, right? So look, story time. My child, he's just different. All of my kids are different and I'm learning how to deal with them differently, right? So my third child is very, first off, I plead the blood of Jesus over this, and I pray that this won't bring any kind of exposure to the kingdom of darkness or anything like that, but this is just to help. I pray that this information would just be for helping purposes and nothing else. In Jesus' name, I block, I reject, I cancel any demonic assignments or projections or anything, God, that is not of you due to sharing this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so my son, like, he's very sensitive, okay? He's very sensitive. And it's like with him, you have to literally think about how you... Now, I think all of us should watch how we talk to our kids, but with my third child, he really reminds me that my tongue could be a weapon. Like, I can't say... It's not even just what I say, it's how I say it. So if I'm frustrated, I'm telling you, this boy has taught me how to really just keep myself together when I'm like irritated. Like, he has taught me how to stay grounded and not let my emotions have me. So when I talk to him, you know, it's just certain ways that you have to say things that he'll get it. If not, he could be very hard on himself. Right. So the teacher, like, so I'm working with him or whatever, with his homework and things like that, and he's not focusing, and I'm trying to help him focus and stay, you know, whatever. He tells me his teacher told him that, like, she'll say stuff like, I'm not happy with you, or you're not trying, right? You're not trying hard enough, right? I mean, I wasn't there. But it kind of got me fired up because I'm just kind of like, why are you saying it like that, though? Like, as a teacher and it's somebody else's kids, I'm like, she could say something like, she could reword it, right? And say something like, hey, I think you could try a little harder. Or again, I don't know how she said it, but based on the things that he tells me, she gets very frustrated with the kids. She says other things I'm not about to say, but so this is what, just gathering all the information that he tells me, I'm not thinking she's saying this in a nice tone or in a nice way. She's just saying it because she's irritated. So God set this up because I was angry and I was like, all right, I told my husband, like, we got to do this when you get off work, because if I go up to her one-on-one, y'all know how us women could be. Like, I don't want this to be a catty situation. And I just need, like, balance. So I want my husband there for balance. And so, God, I don't know, it was a test or whatever, but I ran into her that same day. Or, no, the following day. I ran into her. And so I was like, all right, well, since we're here. So I asked her if I could talk to her. And why am I telling y'all this? So I asked her if I could talk to her, and I told her what I was, how I was feeling. I said, "Hey, my son, he comes home from school, and when we do our work, or last week, whatever, he comes home from school. He was a little discouraged because he told me that you said something about, he wasn't trying, and he told me that he was, right? And I just told her Well, so then she said, "Well, yeah, your son does talk a lot and all that other stuff." I said, "Okay, and I get that, but to tell him that he's not trying hard enough and he really is, I think, you would get a better result out of him if you just changed the way you reworded it. If you were to reword what you're saying, I think you get a better response because he's extremely sensitive. Like even with me." And I said, I told her, "I know you know this as a teacher, because you're dealing with different types of kids all the time." And she was like, "Well, yeah, but it's like for me, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. Like, I just need the kids to keep up." All right, I get that, but all children, they learn differently and things like that. So I just told her, I just would appreciate if you can to kind of just watch how you say things with him, right? Because he really does take things hard. And it's kind of discouraging for him. I don't even think she realized she was doing that. So in his head, for him to feel like, "Well, I am trying, and you're telling him he's not," he was like, "Well, what's the point?" So he comes home with me defeated. "Well, what's the point? She said I'm not trying, and I was. Like, this is too hard." So I say all this to say, I had to be the one to go and say something to her. Right. And so at the end of the conversation, God was there because she had a, because at first there was tension. I was sensing tension from her. Right. Then at the end, she seemed to let her guards down and receive what I was saying. And then she started to say she could relate because she was a sensitive child as well. And so she was going to keep an eye on that. And so not only did that was a blessing for my son, but that's a blessing for other people's kids too. So my point was, I'm like, "God, why am I always the one to come and say something to these teachers or have meetings with principals?" I'm telling y'all, I've been doing this for so long. It's just been getting on my nerves. I get somebody else to do it. Find somebody else to do it. So this is probably how you guys, how we all feel, even with this. It's another burden that God puts on us, but it's because God trusts us. It's because God's like, "I know that you can do this," right? It's like, I'm be real. I feel like God probably called, what is that? All are called and a few are chosen, because these people don't say yes. These people don't say yes. They don't care. They don't say anything. They don't petition. They don't stand up for what's right. They just roll over and just let it be. They roll over, they complain, and they don't do anything about it. And so with us, we're like doers, right? We're gonna get it done. If we look in the Bible and you see these people who have these books in the Bible, excuse me, y'all, sorry. When we look in the Bible and we see these people, who, hold on. I don't know what the heck. I don't know if y'all could tell my voice is a little hoarse. I don't know if it was a cold. I didn't feel like I had a cold, but my voice was just different. So I don't know. But we see in the Bible these people. I said that like three times. I'm sorry, y'all. But imagine if these people said no. Imagine if these people just rolled over and was like, "Forget it. I'm not even gonna talk about Jesus." Okay. But just everybody else, like Mary, okay, Saul to Paul, right? Just all these different people, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, especially Jeremiah. Jeremiah went through it. Jeremiah got hands laid on him. Like, people were beating him up. Like, and he still said, "Okay." Okay, like I feel like sometimes I don't talk about Jesus that much because I think people look at Jesus as if he has superpowers. I think we kind of forget that when Jesus was here in the flesh, that meant he felt like and feels everything that we feel. It wasn't like he came down like an angel. He was literally in human form. So frustration, anger, all that, he felt that getting smacked, beat and crucified, he felt that heartbreak, betrayal. He felt that. I think we kind of feel like Jesus is Jesus. But I think that's what makes the testimony and the sacrifice even like that much more rich, is the fact that he literally felt everything. So, but okay, that's a side note. But anyway, so I just don't bring Jesus up that much because I think people think that they don't, I think they, like what I said, they don't think that Jesus went through and felt the way that they felt. So if I talk about other people, maybe that will help people feel like it's more relatable. All right. So all these other people, like they go through the same thing. They feel the same way. They get persecuted. They get rejected. They have to carry the burden. Right. But it's just a beautiful thing to think about. It's that one person that can make a difference for everybody. Like the testimony that I said about like what happened with my children. I've done this before years ago when this lady was trying to push the class. Well, I don't think I didn't have success in that one, actually. That's a bad example. There was a teacher trying to push this book about witches. Why are we reading about witches? Out of every book that these kids could be reading, we're going to read about witches. So I fought that and I didn't really win that one. What happened was she gave my son a completely different assignment. He had to read a completely different book. So instead of just changing for everybody, she sat him out. But I don't know. It's just the fact of just always having to come against. Like, I'll say this. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit was like, it still brought awareness. Because the principal didn't even know that they had such a book, you know, that was able to, that slipped through, right? But anyway, so what God is saying is it's a reason that he has this burden on you, right? And it is selfless for us to do that and to make the sacrifice and to put in work for those behind us, right? Whether it be your relatives or people you don't know, like I said, other people's children that I probably helped because this lady wasn't considering or thinking how these kids are taking in what she's saying, how she's saying it, right? So let me see. That's pretty much it. So look, God wants you to know. He knows it's a burden. He knows like you feel all this and you don't even want to care. You want to be like other people because it's like, why is this responsibility on me? You know, and you can't shake it. It's just accept your calling. Just accept your calling, lock in with God, and he's going to help you every step of the way. It is going to feel intimidating. It is. But it's because it's not even meant for you to actually conquer in your own power. Think of Goliath. That had to have been intimidating to David. David was just a little boy. He wasn't even a man yet. He was a boy. Even more so, right? God has you. I'm so sorry, y'all. I don't know how that sounds. But all right, so that's it. I love you guys. You guys be blessed. I pray that this bless you guys. I'm trying my best to line up my YouTube videos with the podcast. It's not the easiest thing just because of time, how time goes. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not that easy for me to pair them up. So I'm going to be sure to title them correctly. I'm going to make sure I put the same exact title if it's the same exact word. But I won't have every word on each platform. Like, it's not going to always be paired is what I'm saying. So I might have some words on here that's not on my YouTube and vice versa. So, all right, guys. Love you guys. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.